This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irarangi te motu, MPR. Love who you are, you got to love who you are. Love who you are, love, 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 love. Love who you are, you got to love who you are. Love who you are, love, 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 love. Love who you are, you got to love who you are. Love who you are. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome here to another fabulous Tuesday night on Manawatu People Radio, 999 AM, the voice of your communities. That's right, you're at the Palmy Pride team. I'm Cam.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
And I'm Matt, and I'm not the problem. But
and Sky is away.
Sky.
We don't talk about it on here. Sky is away.
We're both the problems.
We are both the problem. Look, I'm not even going to introduce anything. I'm just going to start right into it.
Okay, go for it.
Just do the
boom. I love the first two I've got stories are about animals, and that's just adorable. Turkey blocks. We've got lots to get through tonight. Turkey blocks LGBTQ plus crews from docking. They use that word.
So
if you don't know what that
is,
if you don't know what that is, don't Google it on a work computer. Over moral standards, Turkey has barred LGBT plus crews carrying thousands of international passengers from docking at its ports.
Has Turkey got moral standards?
With local. Turkey. No, it's not the animal, Turkey. It's the country.
It's
God,
the
I
country.
Got all giddy on it. Is this the one with Paddy DuPont on it?
Paddy LeBone, yes.
Authorities reportedly citing moral standards and family values in the controversial decision. The cruise organised by US-based Atlantis Events was due to visit the Turkish resort town of Kasudasi and later Istanbul as part of its 10-day Athens to Venice itinerary, which departs from Greece on 5th of July. However, Turkey officials confirmed organisers that the ship would not be permitted to dock because it has been chartered by groups known for behaviour, inverted commas, known for behaviours incompatible with the fabric of our society and moral values, inverted commas, finish. The vessel, the Scarlet Lady, which I love that it's called that, is expected to carry around 1,900 passengers, including more than 1,100 from the United States, alongside travellers from the UK, Canada, Australia and other countries. Following Turkey's decision, Atlantis Events confirm that the cruise will now call into Cairo in Egypt and the Greek island of Crete instead. Rich Campbell, president and chief executive of Atlantis Events, said that he was shocked by the move and claimed that it was the first time in the company's 36-year history that it's been prevented from docking. because of the identity of its passengers. It's pretty stunning, to be honest. And the reasoning behind it is that it's a gay group, Campbell told CNN. It's very concerning to me when a country decides they can pick and choose which tourists are allowed in and which are not. The decision comes amid continuing concerns from human rights organisations over the treatment of LGBTQ plus people in Turkey. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's ruling AK Party has adopted increasingly hostile rhetoric towards the LGBTQ plus community in recent years, while pride marches have been banned in Istanbul since 2015. Officially on public safety and security grounds. So I had read a post that Paddy LuPone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Paddy LuPone was one of the entertainers on the ship.
Wow.
And she was livid.
And she was absolutely gutted and livid because they wouldn't let her in, wouldn't let the ship dock.
That's
crazy. And on an actual animal one, I'm just going to keep going with them. That was about Turkey, the country. This is the animal one that I got all excited about. Gay sheep rescued from grim fate after refusing to mate with females live out their lives in peace on a German farm. So this has been doing the rounds on Facebook as well. Yeah. Michael Stuck, a farmer from Germany, founded Rainbow Wool in 2023 to save homosexual rams from being sent to the slaughter. In 2025, the non-profit collaborated with Grindr to produce a fashion show of knitwear items that had been made up from the yarn spun from Stook's sheep. So you're wearing gay wool.
Yeah.
Proceeds from the rainbow will support LGBTQ plus advocacy and have helped nearly 2,000 people escape anti-gay persecution worldwide.
I hope they get some out of Turkey.
That is literally a warm fuzzy.
That is a very cool
'cause you are warm and you are fuzzy. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I love reading fun stories like that as opposed to seeing all of the negative crap that gets put out in the world.
Yeah, right. We're going to go to our first song because I also have to do the admin while the song is playing. But our first song is What Do You Want From Me by Adam Lambert.
It's a cool song.
Hey, slow it down. What do you want from me? What do you want from me?
Adam Lambert with What Do You Want From Me?
Adam Lambert, Everything.
And up in the lineup was a song from Andrew Mitchell, 76th Street, and a Rod Stewart number. So lots to look forward to.
We have indeed.
Right, who's up next with the, okay, with the piece of information for the people?
All right, so Japan is preparing to introduce a nationwide education program on sexual orientation and gender identity. There's one in the eye for America.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Aimed at addressing widespread gaps in public understanding of LGBTQ plus issues. Way to go, Japan. Set a standard for the rest of the planet.
I heard that Spain, and I don't know if you have the article there, but
it's
Spain
number one.
Was anti-conversion laws.
Yep, and Spain has been identified as one of, as I think, the safest place or best place policy-wise to be for LGBT people in Europe.
Exciting.
Yep, good people. Mind you, Spain's kind of got that history. It's once it got over that Inquisition rubbish.
Well, I know that there was someone who moved the apartments even away from trial.
Well, there you go. Yep.
What a treat.
Yep. And a federal judge in California has ruled that the Justice Department likely cannot lawfully obtain confidential medical records identifying transgender minors who received gender-affirming care at Lucile Packard Children's Hospital in Stanford. The ruling delivers a significant setback to a year-long federal campaign targeting providers of such care. Way to go. Let's have a song.
Okay, the next song up is by Andrew Mitchell. Mitch?
Sorry.
Mitch. All in My Head.
A couple months of memories doesn't feel very long, 'cause I still blush when I talk about you all night long. How you make me laugh and never let me walk out of church alone. And now you're someone I'd love to bring home and show you all the feelings that I always talked about. And take you up my favorite tree and drive you around my town. Or smile about having kids, maybe three or four. And you can hold my hand when we get to the door. My mama's gonna love you, and my twin will tell you, don't you break his heart, 'cause she's never seen me more happy. And my sister's gonna hug you, and my dad will pour you something, his glass to you, and want to meet your family. Oh, but I know that it's all in my head, 'cause they'll just wish you were a girl instead. Every single year I'll take you to the Christmas party. My grandma's always gonna smile, give you something sweet. My aunt will try to turn you red and top you off with more champagne and ask us how it's going and if we've talked about a wedding. My friends are gonna love you, and my guys are gonna buy your drinks and laugh about the things I did in college. And how I've never been more happy. And I wish that my dad would meet you and pour us both the shot of whiskey and talk about the time he'll get to meet your family. Oh, but I know that it's all in my head. Nothing else matters inside their head.
all capitals.
We are back. That was Andrew Mitch with All In My Head.
Right. Should I just jump in or are you
going to? I'm going to go. Yes. So, we have a race from Flag Marshal to building an LGBTQ plus racing team. Adam Trapsky had his first.
Adam who?
Adam Trapsky.
I thought you said Krapsky, and I was like, what?
T-R-A-P-S-K-I. Had his first brush with motorsports in the 1990s in New Zealand when he was a young flag marshal. That's one of the race officials you see along the track waving flags at drivers to share critical road conditions. Trapsky's family had a problem with that and more. When I was growing up, my parents were homophobic and anti-motorsports. They didn't like me being involved in the sport, so it was not a great family environment. In that respect, he told LGBTQ Nation, they kicked the queer early 20-something out of the house on both accounts. Trapsky didn't race cars as a kid, as if it was...
They didn't like him because he was queer.
And that he was into motorsports, which the family didn't like.
So the... Okay, like, I don't agree with kicking someone out of the house because they're queer, but I understand that it happens. But kicking someone out of the house because they like motorsports?
Yes.
Wow.
That is weird, eh? That's like a whole new level of weirdness.
My first car was a horrible lime green coloured Mitsubishi Mirage hatchback called Kermit, followed by a four-door 1980 Ford Escort. Neither cars were really ready for the racetrack. It wasn't until almost 30 years later that the one-time flag marshal settled in behind the wheels of a race car. I was 52 years old when I first started circuit racing in 23 with no prior karting or racing experiences, Trapsky says. He calls race day sheer adrenaline. It's the most rewarding, fun-filled and exciting thing that you can ever possibly do. He says not to keep the excitement to himself. Trapsky set out a mission to give back by assembling a young, all LGBTQ plus racing team. Trapsky has spent the intervening years between his racetrack forays volunteering with LGBTQ organisations such as the New Zealand AIDS Foundation, now Burnett Foundation, the country's first gay and lesbian dragon boat group, and its first gay rugby team. He wanted to give young queer motorsports enthusiasts like him the chance to share in the fun in his new home in Australia. So that is awesome. Awesome that he is doing that.
Very cool.
And now he drives a 1990 BMW E30 3250 with 5-speed manual gearbox.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
For all those car enthusiasts out there, the car can go fast.
But don't worry, if you're not a car enthusiast, I'm just going to tag this on the end. Victor Willis, famously known for dressing as the police officer in The Village People, has died following a short period of illness the day before his 75th birthday. His friends and family made the announcement via social media requesting privacy. I don't think they did it with their arms like the YMCA.
What letter was the police officer?
He was the police officer. We don't know.
Yeah, but he
was. They probably mixed it up.
He was also the one who kind of sold out. He was the straight one.
We're profoundly sad to announce the death of Victor Willis, lead singer of The Village People. The band wrote on the announcement on their Facebook page, Victor passed on June 30th, 2026, after a short but aggressive illness. Privacy is requested. The news was prompted plenty of response from around the world, with the US President Donald Trump praising Willis and a host on Truth Social. Village People singer Victor Willis is dead at 74. He was a great and happy guy who loved that I used his group song. Of course he would say something like this. That I used his group song, YMCA, at my rallies. It became a monster hit again, 30 years after the original launch, he wrote. according to Trumpet did. Many singers and groups wanted to get on board at the rallies after all of the rally attendance records were set. The crowds were and are enormous, but Victor and the group was there for us right from the beginning, he continued. They loved the action and we loved them and their great and uplifting song. We will think of Victor every time YMCA is played, like today and throughout this July 4th birthday weekend. My condolences to his wonderful family and group. Victor Willis will be sorely missed. God bless him. Victor and the group had previously objected to Trump using their songs during his election campaign before later supporting the US president, even performing at his 2025 inauguration. Willis himself garnered plenty of attention in 2024 when he publicly lashed out at those calling the YMCA a gay anthem and threatened legal action against those claiming to use it as such. There has been a lot of talk, especially of late, that YMCA is somehow a gay anthem, he wrote online at the time, and has said numerous times in the past that it's a false assumption based on the fact that my writing partner was gay and that some, not all of the village people were gay, and that all of the first Village People album was totally about gay life, he continued. Willis defending his lack of knowledge on gay culture prior to writing the song and warned people to not make assumptions about the hit song. This assumption is also based on the fact that YMCA is apparently being used as some sort of gay hangout, he said. And since one of the writers was gay and some of the Village People are gay, the song must be a message to gay people. To that, I say once again, get your minds out of the gutter. It's not. If you've listened to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Kind of says itself, right?
Take it how you want it, from the top or from the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Or the side, whatever.
Or the side. We don't discriminate.
Right. Our next song is by 76th Street, and it's called
The Lesbian Band.
76 Trombones.
No, they're a new band.
Oh, they're a new lesbian band.
Got more gay. There's something about the way I want her tattooed arms around my waist. She doesn't know my name, sees me looking over at her. That's when I say I planned on staying in tonight.
If you wanna be my girl,
you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. NPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out npr.nz for more information. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate. If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app.
That was 76th Street with Girls. And coming up next, we have a Rod Stewart number. It is The Killing of Georgie, but apparently we have an article to go with the song. So
we do indeed. So 50 years is a long time for Georgie to live rent-free in culture, long enough for a song to be banned, rediscovered, analysed, misremembered, and then suddenly treated like it was always obvious. It was always obvious it mattered. When Rod Stewart released The Killing of Georgie, Parts 1 and 2, on the album A Night on the Town in 1976, it didn't exactly arrive quietly. It arrived with a full narrative arc, a gay protagonist, a New York backdrop, and a level of emotional sincerity that clearly made some broadcasters feel they had accidentally tuned into something they weren't prepared to emotionally process. The BBC reportedly banned it, which in hindsight feels less like a cultural decision and more like the musical equivalent of covering your eyes during a scene and hoping nobody notices you're still listening. It didn't work. The song still climbed to number 2 in the UK charts and did what good storytelling tends to do when people try to shut it out. It spread anyway. Now, half a century later, Stewart has been reflecting on the song's afterlife, not as controversy bait, but as something that quietly landed in people's lives when they needed it most. And this is where things got unexpectedly tender in a very un-rock and roll way. Let me tell you something about that song. This is Rod Stewart. That song, which is most gratifying if you know now. Through the years, guys have come up to me and when they were younger and said thank you for writing that song, because I was in a dark place and it got me through that period. You know, I was unsure of my sexuality and that got me through, which is not exactly what you expect to hear in the legacy of a 1970s rock hit that once made broadcasters panic. But here we are. Turns out the song didn't just tell a story. It also accidentally became a lifeline for listeners who weren't exactly drowning in representation at the time. This is The Killing of Georgie.
I do love that there are songs like that when you listen to the wording and stuff, the context comes out a bit more and it tells a story. There's a Mika one similar, but not quite as, Sorry, anyway, keep going.
Right, so here is the song by Rod Stewart, The Killing of Georgie. This is Part 1 and 2.
Changing ways, so-called liberated days. A story comes to mind of a friend of mine. Georgia boy was gay, I guess. Nothing more or nothing less. The kindest guy I ever knew. His mother's tears fell in vain. The afternoon George tried to explain that he needed love like all the rest.
Power says there must be a mistake. How can my son not be straight after all I've said and done for him? Leaving home on a Greyhound bus, cast out by the ones he loves, a victim of these gay days, it seems. Georgie went to New York town, where he quickly settled down and soon became the toast of the great white way. Accepted by Manhattan's elite and all the places that were chic, no party was complete without George. Along the boulevards he cruised, and all the old queens blew a fuse. Everybody loved Georgie boy. Time I saw George alive was in the summer of 75. He said he was in love. I said, I'm pleased. George attended the opening night of another Broadway hype, but split before the final curtain fell. Deciding to take a shortcut home, arm in arm, they meant no wrong. A gentle breeze blew down Fifth Avenue. Side street came a New Jersey gang with just one aim, to roll some innocent passerby. There ensued a fearful fight.
Since he'd.
Right, we're back. That was Rod Stewart with Killing of Georgie.
Right, I'm going to slip this one in because I'm just, I get concerned about the well-being of people.
Okay.
I do. Republican Nancy Mace has been mocked on social media. Poor lovely, poor lovely, poor lady. After promoting a bill to ban the radical transgender experiments on mice. A practice that has nothing to do with trans people. Mace took to X, which is formerly known as Twitter, is that right? Yeah, to promote her Trans Mice Act, alongside an image of a mouse with the slogan, "No trans mice." Animals should not be used for radical transgender experiments. This is not science. This is ideological cruelty paid for by the American taxpayers, she wrote, adding that no federal fund should be used to conduct, support, or fund research aimed at altering an animal's biological sex. The post was quickly hit with a community note on X pointing out her apparent confusion. It explains that trans mice, in scientific context, refers to transgenic mice, animals that have had foreign DNA inserted into their genome, widely used to study disease such as cancer, and have nothing to do with transgender people. Critics piled in, with several scientists noting that the research underpins major medical advances. As someone who works with transgenic mouse models for cancer research, this is objectively one of the funniest things I've seen in a real life politician could post, one wrote. Mace pushed back, insisting that she had not made an error. This post is not about transgenic mice. It is about federally funded transgender related experiments on animals, she wrote. She did not point to any specific examples of the experiments that says the bill would ban.
Let's have a song.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to put in a bill, for example, the defining gender one that we have in the bill that they're going through at the moment, educate yourselves on it first.
Do your homework.
Read all you can. Look at it from both sides, as Joni Mitchell would say.
Right, our next song up is Easy by Troy Sivan.
Oh, Troy.
You ran away to find something to say.
I went straight to make it okay, and he made it easy, darling. I'm still in love, and I say that because I know how it seems between you and me. It hasn't been easy, darling. After the dance, the smell on my hands, the rock in my throat, a hair on my coat, a stranger at home, my darling.
Some kind of freak, my darling.
Now I'm vulnerable, so sad and alone. But don't cry for me, cause everyone knows you reap what you sow, my darling. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Troy Sivan with Easy.
And we just realised we cut off the killing of Georgie way too soon.
That's
so
right.
We're going to put the whole thing on our Facebook page. Is that right, Andy?
That is right. I'm just doing it post now.
Yay. Thank you. Alrighty. So, Charles Sturt University research has found that LGBTQIA plus people living in regional and rural Australia are experiencing higher levels of discrimination compared with their metropolitan counterparts, according to results from the second regional Rainbow Survey. Goodness me. The findings show that participants in regional communities reported increased experiences of discrimination over the past 12 months. Participants noticed more hate towards their community, particularly more transphobia and violence towards trans women. More than 40% of participants indicated they experienced discrimination from people they did not know, and approximately a quarter of respondents experienced discrimination at work and from family and friends. 15% indicated they experienced discrimination while accessing physical health care, while 16% said they wanted more gender-affirming healthcare services and knowledgeable general practitioners. LGBTQ plus people in rural or regional Australia still report worse mental health compared to those in our cities. Dr. Lewis was one of the directors of the research. One in three with a diverse sexual orientation and two in five with a diverse gender identity are not out to some degree. This speaks to the fear LGBTQ plus people in regional communities live with. Here you go.
Excellent. Right. Next song up off the mark is by Sasha Allen. I'm going to say it's Sasha, S-A-S-H-A.
Trans.
What's it called? When I Forgive You.
My grandma grew up in the 30s. She's a Catholic through and through. I would have understood if she had been abrasive and confused. She could have turned away simply washed her hands of it. Instead, she's bragging to her friends how great her grandson is. Change if we just sat down to speak. I'm not fed up with you for fearing something that you've never seen. When people painted you a picture of who I am supposedly, it's not surprising that you're trying to not get too close to me. All your violence, all your venom won't come close to getting. Suddenly be things you didn't really mean. I find it strange to hold such hatred for a stranger. You'll find it strange when I hold kindness to your anger. I find it strange this shape you mold me into. And you'll find it strange when I forgive you. Mrs. Mass, I wouldn't blame her if at her age it was all too much to grasp. And she don't know all of the proper terminology and words, but at 83 her love for me is what made her want to learn. It's not an act of revolution that you're watching on the news. I bet you'd like me if we talked. I bet you wouldn't have a clue. And when the swords are to the side, when the army finally falls, you'll see we're just two human beings, not too different after all your violence, all your venom won't come close to getting rid of me. And at the pearly gates, all those statements you made will suddenly be things you didn't really mean. I find it strange to hold such hatred for a stranger. You'll find it strange when I hold kindness to your anger. I find it strange this shape you mold me into. And you'll find it strange when I forgive you.
That is Sasha Allen with When I Forgive You. Right, what have we got? What have we got up?
Look, I've just been inundated with paperwork over here. Mm-hmm. Truly toxic. Those paper cuts. Military. I really don't like you, Matthew, for this. Military junta in Niger arrests 40 nationwide anti-gay purge. Niger, the former French colony in West Africa, is in the midst of a countrywide gay purge. Dozens of high-ranking officials and civilians arrested and imprisoned. Earlier this year, the government officially banned homosexuality in the country, imposing years-long sentences and fines on anyone found guilty of committing indecent or unnatural acts with a person of the same sex. Those participating in witnessing or organising a same-sex marriage were also targeted with few penalties, as well as any person or group involved with organisations, clubs or other societies, inverted commas, societies, of the LGBTQ plus people. Prison sentences range from 10 to 20 years, with fines up to 180,000, Reuters reports. The changes to the country's penal code are now part of the wholesale reform of Niger's constitution imposed by the general turned president who deposed Niger's last government in 2023 coup. Until this year, homosexuality wasn't criminalised in the country. General Abdurrahmane Tishane, a former UN peacekeeper of Niger, was sworn in as president in 2025 and dissolved all political parties, The Guardian reports, following the imposition of new punishments. Tangier's regime was embarked on a witch hunt for gay men across the country. Up to 40 people have been arrested. 16 men, including high-ranking military officials, have been imprisoned across the country, according to local media. With the recent witch hunt, these arrests are taking place. The climate here is truly toxic, said one well-placed source who's asked to remain anonymous. LGBTQ plus populations are keeping a low profile and have gone into hiding because they are at risk, they added. We have lost contact with many, and recent arrests have exasperated tensions. Yeah. Well, that's a bit sucky.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yes. Right, another article. What have we got left?
I think that's it.
So I'm going to slip something in real quick. Coming up at the end of July, for two nights only, Rent, the musical, is on at the Globe Theatre. Local
Rent, is that the one that's 525,600 minutes?
Yes. Local musical theatre group 6 to 60 are putting it on, and so it's an adult cast because they have like three different age groups that do shows and stuff. It's real cool. But yeah, so it's all local cast. It's great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really cool musical. If you haven't seen it, bring your tissues, because there are some moments in it. There are some laughs in it, but there's some moments as well. But just a really, really nice musical, and it's put on by locals. Tickets, I think, are around $27 each, which is really pretty cheap considering there are some local theatre groups charging around $65 to $85.
Held at the Globe Theatre.
Held at the Globe. End of July, two nights only. It's going to be great.
Yes. I've heard these people saying they're pretty darn good.
And then if you enjoy that, keep an eye out for the 4th of October at the Regent Theatre as their annual concert, fundraising for the team to go to Spain.
Nice.
Ooh.
See where we're at.
There we go. Words for the people. Go. You. You.
With the glasses. I don't have any words. I'm sorry.
You. With not the glasses.
Stay fab. Have a wonderful week.
And from me, don't go down to the eel pond and feed the eels eggs and then slip over in the mud. But we don't talk about it on air. Wait, we're on air. Stay warm, grab an extra blanket, take care.
And this song up is DJ by DJ Bill Bennett with Dancing in My Bedroom.
Sunrise on the cornfields, boots ropes upon my feet. Another day of silence, another day complete, with secrets buried deeper than the furrows that we plow. I'm someone else entirely, but I can't show. I'm magnificent, in daylight I'm not allowed. Fell down like thunder, left me broken up inside. Men don't dance, he told me, men don't move the way you do. Now it's football after school and I don't know what to do. He burned my Broadway album, said those dreams would make me weep. Now I'm someone that I'm not and I'm too afraid to speak. The boy who danced in moonlight is buried down below, beneath the weight of silence and the shame I'll always know. No more midnight dancing in my bedroom, no more music in the night, just the echo of the boy I used to be before he learned to hide his light. Every dream becomes a burden, every hope becomes a lie. No more midnight dancing in my bedroom, just a boy afraid to fly. Fields, boots upon my feet. Another day of silence, another day complete.